From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Paula Januszkiewicz.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. We are very excited this week to have Paula here from Secure.
Thank you.
Yes, who is a pretty well-known expert in the field of information security.
Well, trying.
Notorious.
Well, notorious. You speak at a lot of Microsoft events and various other events around the world. You do
Absolutely.
A lot of traveling.
People may have seen you on stage a bit.
Yeah. I've been there for quite a while.
The last time we had Paula on Defrag was way back in TechEd 2014.
Wow.
So it's been a while. I don't know where the time went.
Completely doesn't feel like.
It feels like 1 or 2 years at best.
Absolutely.
Time flies.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd have a little short episode on information security, just as a general concept and what the role is and stuff like that. And Secure, you know, that's what they do. You go into companies and penetrate test and mm-hmm. then help people out of that hole. And so obviously, you have to teach people how to do information security. So we're going to hopefully get some pearls of wisdom out of Paula to how you would start your information security career. So how do you approach newbies and getting new staff and just teaching both your staff and also customers the information security world?
Yeah. It has been a very interesting market for sure.
Yeah. So is there a playbook that you can do here? Is it analogous to another role? Like, do you approach the information security role like you would approach learning to program or learning to be an ops engineer? Is there just basic
stepping? How do you get started?
Yeah. The beautiful part of the whole IT, I would say, and I think we all kind of like may see it this way, is that you can always start. Yeah, so from wherever you are, you can always start. Some people may not like it, but if you are kind of like into it, then if you spend some time, you can get into IT. Of course, it doesn't mean that you're going to be the greatest expert, but you can start, definitely. And this is what security is about as well. So pretty much everybody can start working in security, and especially the ones that are working in IT. So that is a perfect preparation.
I'm guessing it's a good role for people who don't really want to do programming, but are really interested in the internals of OSs and Windows and how things operate, but don't really want to do the other end of the thing where I'm just making server racks and worrying about DNS records and stuff.
Absolutely.
It's a good middle ground for people to be in, right?
Absolutely agreed. And I think that another one is not too challenging, but the time where like having a good developer skills and as well being in security, it's kind of like over because you are dealing with so many different types of security aspects. You can do that as well, but you can also live without it. Yeah. So you can be an infrastructure security expert and work in a certain type of a big environment without the programming skills and still do a good job.
It kind of reminds me of this new data scientist evolution where the programmer was kind of the guy who did the SQL database and everything else as well. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of separate those roles out and say, look, this is just purely the code right. side of it. This is the data side of it. And then that expands into this more aggregation and reporting and that type of side of the business. Information security the same. Programmers just aren't going to be up to date on how to do security properly in their code, I'm guessing. Mm. It's one of those things you need to go ask an expert. And corporations, I assume, really should have an information security engineer on staff these days. Would you agree?
Absolutely, definitely. And that is also a very interesting challenge for lots of different types of customers. Even like the bigger ones, it's so hard to find someone that is good in the cybersecurity field that it's really like everybody's like understaffed. So basically, we are all the time the same for us, searching and trying to develop our team. And I'm interviewing lots of people. And it's so hard to find someone with a good approach. And you don't need to be great, but you need to have a very good approach. Kind of like, I call it a hyperactive person. So the person that totally knows what's going on out there. And if this person doesn't, then there's always a possibility to check. And it's like all the time, the person in the need of information. So pretty much, everybody in our team is like this, that if I don't know, I just feel bad about it. I just need to check. Like,
I cannot
sleep.
There's something wrong with me until I know.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is.
The tenacity for investigation.
Tenacity, curiosity.
Curiosity is the factor. So being super active in getting information, that is basically what is needed over there.
I assume some of this is about just a good basis in fundamentals, like, you know, Windows internals and stuff. So tools like Process Explorer from SysInternals and Process Monitor, where you can go, okay, let's look at something very simply and see what it involved, right? I suppose that's one of the building blocks that you need. Once you understand what's happening, you can then start to understand what security is applied to that domain, right?
Yes, absolutely agreed. And the need of security basics, as we call it, even though they are not basic, right? So knowing Windows internals, it's a must in a Windows world. And I'm always saying one thing, how can you like hack into things or do the penetration test, let's say it, without really knowing how things work? And this is always like fascinating for me because there are so many like different types of experts out there in a field capable to use different types of tools. But at the same time, like when you use that tool and it executes and you run that whatever remote shell, like how do you know like what is actually the situation that you have in the operating system? Right. What kind of privileges do you have? Yeah, and so on. So that is something that it's definitely lacking there.
I can definitely see just doing something as simple as making bubble diagrams on a whiteboard to say, okay, this thing talks to this, this thing talks to this. At least get the sequencing down. And then maybe an overlay of the physical nature of that. Is it local on-prem? Is it in the cloud? Is it jumping between data centers? Is it isolated on a VLAN? This kind of, what would you call it? A network topology?
Yeah, kind of overlay. Logical.
Diagram.
Is that how you, a good way to approach, I mean, obviously internal, all these things, you just need to bring up building blocks. So it's just approaches to the problem.
Yeah. And there are graphs like that already done. So basically, you can see what kind of knowledge you should gain as a security expert. But still, I mean, it's impossible to know everything in the field. Yeah. So you need to specialize yourself in something. Yes. As always in IT, especially in security, that started to be the case. So you can specialize in website security, mobile security. It's a little bit of a different subject. Yeah. Infrastructure security and so on. So these are the areas to cover. But I absolutely agree with you with this like internals thing. Yeah. So that is something that you can still hack into environments because people make mistakes and there are systems that are vulnerable. So you're gonna use whatever Metasploit, you download a known exploit from like whatever exploit database, and then you manage to get access to it. But then the question is, what next, right? And then we are getting into this beautiful space where knowledge matters, not the tool matters, where, for example, you're getting access, or just give you an example, you're getting access to the domain controller. We had a junior penetration tester in the team. It's like a real life example. And then the question was, okay, so he managed to become a domain admin. That's awesome. Of course, it means a lot, But then question is, what's next?
What
can you do with it, right? Because, okay, being a domain admin, that's cool, but now what? I'm going to destroy it all? Not really. I'm going to extract information, yes, but then what kind of, in what kind of way? This is where the knowledge strikes in. And this is what we mean by the good security expert. But the problem in the field is that you have no standard for that. So there's nobody like saying, hey, this is how the great security expert looks like. This is what you're supposed to know. And that's the standard for it. There are a couple of standards, but nothing really says, nobody really says like it's supposed to look this way. Mm-hmm. And that's what's challenging.
It's a little bit of a Wild West kind of thing.
A bit, right.
Well, it is growing as a thing, right? It hasn't really had decades of maturity yet, I would argue.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, security has always been important, right? But it seems like it becomes more and more important. It's in the news all the time now. Like you're constantly hearing about companies being hacked and this and that. And not only just by, you know, somebody, random person on the internet who wants to do bad, but like state-sponsored government hackers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, the threats are just exponentially growing, right?
Yeah.
More than ever.
Do you find that there's an audit trail at most corporations so that if something does happen, they can work out what happened, or is that really one of the new frontiers that has to be realized?
You know, it's still like, even though the cybersecurity has been there for the past 10 years, more or less, and it's
since definitely the internet era,
pretty much. It's still like not that much of a sharing is caring thing. Yes. So basically, if you want to like share information with some other CISO, let's say, then there are different types of like people that share information, but it's nothing like really standardized. Mm. That's the case. So
You see a lot of these news stories. They go, "Yeah, we got hacked. We're not sure what happened. We don't know what the exposure is."
Right.
Right.
And I think it's an evolution of the maturity of running corporations in this new era, where these audit systems exist and this auditability exists. I know that, you know, things like Azure and stuff, that's the whole basis of the business. Every operation is audited. I mean, without audit, it's not allowed to happen.
Right.
And so I can see that's definitely the attraction of all these cloud services is that that burden is given to someone else. But unfortunately, there's still always going to be this relationship with the cloud. It's not like everything gets pushed to the cloud. It's not my responsibility anymore. You're still interacting with it. You still have to make sure that you're asking for the appropriate security model when you're going there remotely.
Absolutely. Though sometimes I'm wondering, like, for example, if the companies are getting hacked, that can happen in a center, like, specific way. And the question is, like, how much different these things are? And we also do, like, forensic investigations. Like, right now, from Monday, I'm starting the project for one of the African banks being hacked. And my job's going to be to, like, find out first, like, what happened and so on. And I used to be more excited about it. I'm still excited though, but it's definitely less because, like, you get to an environment and you were like, oh, okay, it's the same stuff. It's like, it could be just like slightly different. And I'm fascinated by the ideas that people have because it's like your imagination that you are using as a hacker to do something. And yeah, but how much different that can be? Like, there are not many possibilities already, you know?
So you find that a lot of the hacks that happen are sort of the same, have the general same contours of things you've seen before?
Of course, within a certain space of events, yes. And that space of events is pretty large.
Yeah.
But still, like, we're all, like, humans. We're kind of, like, repeating different steps. Like, I'm waiting for something extraordinary to happen. like Stuxnet was, for example, extraordinary.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah.
So that kind of things.
Yeah,
like,
that one was fascinating.
I saw happy anniversary to Meltdown and Spectre.
Right.
It's just now, just over a year old now.
Yes. So that kind of like situation. So they don't happen very often because they are difficult to find out, difficult to implement, but that's where it's getting exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah. And what is also exciting in cybersecurity, it's the human factor here.
Yeah.
Because when we do, for example, like different types of pen tests and projects and so on, then basically one of the projects that we had was related with the internal sabotage. So then you have to not only be a good expert in finding out what's happening, but also have a good social skills to make sure that everybody is comfortable with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that is the most exciting part.
Do you think social engineering is going to be the big problem to solve? Right? I mean, I think technically we might get somewhere, but socially that's always going to be a struggle, right?
And it always is. And people are more and more aware of what's going on. But I'm also doing the social engineering projects. And for the past 10 years, there was only one person, literally, that asked me questions.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So besides
people
that,
weren't even thinking.
So that USB stick left in a waiting room or something, it's just going to get plugged in and...
Well, that was how the Stuxnet thing got infected, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, through USB stick. And quite recently, I've been in one of the banks as well, quite big banks, and I'm buying tea at the cafeteria, and then I see that there is a USB stick left next to the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm with the security guys. I'm like, hey, what's this? And they're like, shh, we're making tests.
Yeah. I was actually going to bring that up because this is something I think is kind of a growth industry in sort of the entire industry is sort of companies doing their own internal attacks, trying to sort of see where their weaknesses are, right? And I know you do a lot of that kind of consulting.
Absolutely.
But I know that Microsoft, for example, has a team.
Yes.
Great team.
That will try to do phishing attacks on our own employees and see if they report it as a phishing attack or if they fall for it. And, you know, and I don't know
I'll
what
give them
happens
credit.
If you
there
fall
was one recently
it.
Internally yeah. and every yeah. single person I knew went phishing attack, and everybody else, have you guys anywhere seen this? And it just was a flutter through all the corridors, everybody going, where did this come from? And luckily it was an internal one, but
right.
I was really impressed of all my peers around me, not one single person got sucked into it, and it was a good email.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looked official.
Yeah.
So I was quite proud of everybody around me.
So. But that goes also back to what we were talking about with the sort of the social attacks, right? The the human weakness, right?
Yeah.
Those are
damn
always,
compassion.
Yeah. Yeah, so totally. Maybe that's how you have to fight those, right? Is sort of like get people to fall for a fake one. And,
well, it's a learning experience,
yeah,
right?
And then they'll learn, right?
I think most people say that you learn from your mistakes a lot more than your successes, right?
And if someone can really take this situation in a positive way, then that's perfect, yeah? And we've been also in the situations where people did not really react to that kind of test very well, to social engineering, literally to the point that when I was walking out from the building, there was like lady screaming up from to her friend, like on a parking. She was like, hey, you see that girl over there? Don't trust her. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, yeah. But that was kind of positive, but still.
Yeah, there's some interesting, I've seen online various videos of corporations being, like consultants being paid to break in physically. And it's a very interesting ground between, you know, what is legal and what's not.
That is very interesting, yeah.
It's going to be one of those interesting evolutions of the industry, for sure, of where those lines are.
You know what's always very exciting in this business for me is that when the companies are ordering penetration tests, of course, it's a good idea to check, like from the third party perspective, how do you look and so on. Of course, you've got a certain time, so you evaluate the risk. So within the 2 weeks, hackers will not get in the like most common ways, let's say, or even sophisticated ways. Awesome. But who is monitoring whatever pen testers are doing?
Yeah.
Because if someone is becoming a domain admin in the enterprise domain, in a bank domain, then I mean, we could say you could do everything. Everything means, of course, we need to specify it, but knowledgeable person is capable to use the domain admin credentials to do something interesting, right?
But who's monitoring the monitors?
Right, yeah. That is the question. And that's why cybersecurity has become a very exciting field where you've got lots of people that are, I finished that course and I do a little bit of hacking. I did a hacking in a high school or whatever university. They're up there in the market and then they are to be hired. Awesome, but then do they have good intentions?
Yeah.
And we've been in the situations as well in this business where you've got like a call for offers and then the lowest price wins.
Ooh.
And in security, we know that this is not a good idea. And then you're getting the team like this. Question is like, is this good team, bad team? Because if I would like to get into someone's infrastructure, I would definitely lower my rates. And then I would just be there. It's like, yeah, here's
they
a great
hire
opinion.
You, but you may not have the best intentions.
Absolutely. And then you just like take this information out and you give it to someone else.
And she says, kind of Wild West. It can be a little bit Wild West.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. How do you know who to trust, right?
Because you trust the auditor, obviously, because they are the ones to help you. But is it really the case?
Yeah. I suppose there's also some interesting boundaries between what country is. From what country are allowed to do that in other countries?
You see, I mean, you read things in the news now too about, we found some chip on some motherboard and we don't know how it got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, there's speculation whether that's true or false.
I'm not going to comment. I have no idea. I just know what I read in the news.
It sounds interesting to me.
It's interesting and I think there's a lot of controversy over it. But
do you think IoT?
It's sort of the wild, again, back that Wild West thing, like we don't,
Do you think IoT is going to be the next main thing that's the focus for security?
It's all the time there. Yeah, it's just because we name it right now, it doesn't mean it's like, it's still there and it has always been and there has always been devices out there. It's just like we talk more about it, it means there's going to be more focus about it.
There's more devices though, right? I mean, it's purely from an attack surface point of view.
Right.
There's
right.
more of them. And then their sophistication's lower because they don't have the compute.
Absolutely. So it's gonna be like, it's popular anyhow, right? It's gonna be maybe more popular, depends on what kind of devices you are using, but it's a case, definitely.
I mean, we have Azure Sphere to address this, and yeah, it's definitely one of those growth areas for sure. So where do you, I know that I hang out on Twitter a fair bit, and there's a really good community on there. Where do you kind of find, the conversations and relationships? Is it really a Twitterverse thing at the moment, or is it, I don't really think it's Facebook, really. I mean, I know that particularly Swift on security.
Yes, definitely.
His name's Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
He has a fantastic Twitter account that has a lot of followers and quite good conversations on that. And actually, he's a very good example of growth. He was just an ops engineer that got interested in security and through that evolution of learning now became a security engineer and quite what seems to be a quite impressive one too.
Absolutely.
And so is Twitter really where you hang out? I know that the reverse engineering community can be, particularly which was more the hacking side of things, can be a little bit abrasive, but they're also kind of positive as well.
Right.
So where do you hang out? Where do you get your information?
So Twitter is definitely the case, but also we've got on Facebook kind of like our private groups where we share some information. So that's kind of like, I mean, it doesn't sound very welcoming, but still like that's kind of like the channel. But at the same time, my team is also doing the research in different like news and so on. So like you just see one thing, you dig in further and further and further. Mm. So Twitter is definitely the place to check information.
I think it's kind of like a good news source to then jump off somewhere else, be aware that this is happening.
And it's less official. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could it's just very humanic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you don't have this, oh, well, if I say this officially, my corporation might not like it type. Right. Thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know RSA conference is probably the biggest security conference. Would you agree?
Yes, I do.
What's RSA stand for? Whatever it is. RSA conference.
Yeah, RSA conference.
That's actually quite soon, I think.
I'm actually delivering a keynote over there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So when is that?
In April. Yeah.
So it's coming out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your keynote going to be on? What's the topic?
So I'm still like working on it. It's probably like the shape of cybersecurity that we as we see it right now in the markets. Like what kind of challenges do we have? Mm-hmm. And also one of the subjects that we started, how do you actually search for people? So who is the one that you hire and how do you grow that person? So if someone wants to start in cyber, what kind of steps this person should take? Mm-hmm. So that kind of things. And the trend is definitely out there. And I got like interesting stat from the Forbes, and that was like a cybersecurity ventures that was like making an opinion about that up to 2021, there's going to be 3.5 million cybersecurity job openings.
Whew.
That's pretty
like
cool.
Growth industry.
Right? But then it's
so
like...
it's like a million a year.
Right, but...
There's not a million people per year being...
That is exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah, so this is our conversation that we had. Like, you open a position and there's like what kind of people are applying, yeah?
How do you find the qualified people? And how
do
you find the qualified people that you feel you can trust?
And insecurity, yeah.
Insecurity, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it sounds like it's a good field to get into. There's a lot of growth there.
Absolutely, and it's a very difficult field as well, both from the perspective of being hiring and the hiring person, so that when you get your qualifications and the company invests in you, and of course you need to go to some trainings, spend the time with a more advanced team. Mm. So it's everything is just a cost, at the very beginning. Mm. But of course it's something that we have to make. Then like this person is becoming more valuable in the market. So with that demand of such a great skill in cybersecurity, it's just like gone.
Yeah, portability is a problem. I mean, same
Absolutely.
Thing with software engineers, right? I mean, particularly Silicon Valley is just this jumping place. I mean, everybody just moves around so much.
Yeah.
But so it's very definitely a very interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll link to your we'll update the description below with the link to your RSA talk once it happens. So if you're watching this after RSA, we'll have a link there for
you. Yeah, sounds like a similar topic to what we've discussed here, but I'm sure you'll go much more in depth. That'll be great. Yeah,
cool.
I'll look out for that.
So Paul is going to come back and do a demo, which is what we do on Defrag Tools.
That's right.
We're going to do data protection API.
Yeah.
We've debated how to say it.
Very
I think
cool
it's
subject.
DP
yeah.
API, I want to say.
I want to say DAPI, but that doesn't make sense.
But there's a P in it, so it'd have to be DAPI. DP API.
DP API, yeah.
Data protection API. So it's been around a while, so we'll talk some more about it on the next episode.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. So thanks for the overview.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching.
See you next week.
Thank you.